Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back, folks. We're here for the Real Housewives of Potomac After Show, Season 4, Episode 3, Hot Mic. We're talking Crazy Katie is back. We're talking Michael getting too loose at his party and all that and more coming up for you next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Party people, welcome back.
I just love that music so much.
I know. Oh my gosh. It is so great to be back, you guys. We're here to talk Hot Mic tonight. I am your host, Erica Edwards, but I couldn't do it without my amazing girls. Welcome, Alexis.
Hey, everybody.
And this wonderful Lauren.
Hi, I'm wonderful Lauren, guys. Hey, guys. How are you doing in the chat? What's up?
Hey, what's up? All right, so overview. How are you guys feeling about this episode?
I thought this episode was okay. It was a little bit slow, but I feel like we're gearing towards something that's about to build up. Like what happened at the end. I feel like it's going to blow up on the next episode, so I'm excited to see that happen.
Yeah, retweet all that. I think that a lot of seeds were planted in this episode, and everything's going to bloom, blossom, and all the terror will start.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I feel like we've been getting these clips of Michael at this party, even from last episode, so it was sort of frustrating, I will say, to sit through all the kind of here and there, and then the party is like the last few minutes. But yeah, that means that next episode will be coming in strong.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so let's go light first and then end up with the drama at the end. So let's start off with Monique and Chris and the kids, and they're so cute.
Yes.
So I don't know. It seems like Chris is ready for baby number 4 and she's like still pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you guys think? Do you think she's going to let it happen or no?
I think she is. He's just such a traditional family man. I think he really wants her to be the stay-at-home mom and just have a whole bunch of babies and take care of him. And she's been kind of letting him do that so far. So I wouldn't be surprised if we had baby number 4. But let's see her have baby number 3 first.
I know, right? Exactly. Let her get unpregnant first, is
yeah,
what I'm saying.
Chris is going to get what he wants. I have no doubt. There will be no snipping. I don't see Chris going for that. I would be very surprised if he's down with that. So the inevitable will happen. That will be a 4th baby.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think, Chris is definitely not getting snipped. I don't think that he's that type of guy. But I do feel like Monique is really committed to her. I don't think she wants to be that stay-at-home wife. So I do feel like baby number 4 is going to cause a little bit of extra turmoil, because she's always like, oh, I'm so tired and I can't see doing 4. And she really, I think she is kind of done. But
true, but you know how it is. Well, I've never had a baby, but I'm assuming when you're pregnant you get to that point where you're like, oh, I don't want to ever do this again, but then you end up having other kids, so maybe she's just tired.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think she is tired. But then I just remember even before she was pregnant, she was going so hard with her business. Mm-hmm. And he seemed to like not really be that into that. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, as Lauren mentioned, I think that's a seed that's planted now that will come to fruition later on.
Yeah.
In the next season. So we'll see what's going on. But they were super cute.
Yes.
And I love their kids. Their kids are always adorable on screen and so comfortable. So I love seeing them and their kids.
Melania is so cute. Yeah. Her hair is always, I love that she always has her natural hairstyle. She always looks so cute.
Yes.
I know. Adorable. She's adorable.
She's a model. I don't know if you guys see her Instagram. I follow her.
Mm-hmm.
She's super cute. She's an Instagram model, baby edition. So I like her. She's cute.
I will have to follow her as well because she is super, super, super cute. Let's move on to Candace and Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And they're opening their wedding gifts. And it's so interesting because all that money on their wedding, $200,000. And they're not even going to West Virginia. They're not going anywhere.
Is West Virginia a place you really want to go, though?
Well, I'm just saying they're not going anywhere at all for a honeymoon at any place. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're not even going to the Marriott that's in town. Like, they're not doing anything.
They must have used all of their honeymoon fund on invitations or a bigger cake or something. I can't imagine her mom not giving her money to go on a honeymoon. So they must have told her, look, if you want to invite 50 more people, that means no more honeymoon. And at the time, she was probably like, yes, big wedding. And now the wedding's over and she's regretting it. That's what I think.
I don't think they're really regretting it. I think they probably were prompted in the interview and the confessional, like, what do you think about the honeymoon? I think that they had enough. That wedding was an extravaganza. I think they're fulfilled, especially Chris. I don't think he's like, I want to go on a honeymoon. If anything, it's Candace talking about it for like a minute, and then she's going to go on to the next thing. So I think they'll be fine.
I would want to go on a honeymoon, though.
Yeah, I would want to go on a honeymoon, but then I kind of would want my husband to like pay for something. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. I mean, I get that the mother or the bride's family traditionally pays for the wedding, but usually your husband coordinates the honeymoon situation. So it's like, okay, you know, and even if you're low on funds, we could go someplace, we could go to Florida or something, you know. So I think a honeymoon would have been nice. And I think, you know, and eventually, I guess maybe they'll take a vacation together. I don't know.
Maybe, but now they're talking about they want to get a new house and they want to actually pay for it themselves. So I don't know what their money is like. I know that her mom has been taking care of her all this time. So what is that going to really mean? Like, are they going to be able to afford a big house like where they're living in on their own and do a honeymoon? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, houses are expensive. So I kind of feel like they want to do it on their own, but I don't know if Candace is going to stick to that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think that Chris, personally, I think he, as a man, if he doesn't already and hasn't expressed that already, he wants to do it on his own. He just strikes me as that type. I know I think the reason he hasn't stepped in is because it's so sensitive with their relationship as mother and daughter, but I think that he will be fine living in a smaller house. I think it's all like what Candace wants. So I think eventually, I think Chris can easily provide a nice house for them with whatever he has. It won't be as extravagant as maybe she's used to, but I think they'd be fine. They just have to scale down for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a big change for how she normally has had her lifestyle. So is she going to be okay with that?
That's the thing. I don't think, I think Chris is cool. Like, I think he'll be okay if they get a condo. But I think that her needs are going to be so much that eventually she is going to be like, okay, well, can you help us with the down payment? Can you help us, you know?
I don't think so. I think the mom is going to try to insert herself before Candace goes to her.
Well, we will see.
I think I definitely see the mom saying, like, well, how's that going? Oh, that's what y'all going to do? Or just ask me. Like, her mom is definitely going to be that in her ear.
Yeah, I think. I think her mom kind of uses it as a way to control her. She knows as long as I'm paying for this and I'm paying for that, I can have say-so in her life. And I think that's why they want to move out. But at the same time, Candace isn't going to go downgrade her lifestyle, something that she's been known to have her whole life.
Exactly. That's sort of what I think, too. I mean, I think that her mother is totally controlling and definitely uses money as a grip on her for sure. But she's sort of like addicted to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, even when she was talking to Katie later in the episode, like, what? You're an only child? Like, I don't want to share my mama's money with nobody. So I think the idea of doing it on your own is great. The struggle of doing it on your own, I don't know if she's ready for it. You know?
I would think she would have to get some sort of job.
Right, exactly. That would help.
Because like I said, I mean, Chris, what owns restaurants, right? Like, he does that. How much is that really paying without an extra income?
Yeah, and restaurants are challenging anyway, I think, to run, even when you have money. Because, you know, look at Michael and Ashley. Their restaurant almost went under.
Right.
And he has loot. So it's definitely, I think, you know, I think Chris could probably support them in a nice middle class type fashion. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, is Candace going to go for it or not? So we'll see. We will see on her. Robin and Juan.
We didn't really see too much of them this episode aside from the house stuff.
Yes, exactly.
I am very concerned, though, about that whole housing situation. We haven't really had the best luck with money. So I don't know if investing all of that money in that house was really the smartest decision, especially looking at the house 4 months later. It looks like they have a lot of work to do. So I'm a little concerned.
I'm concerned that Jose is the only contractor in there. Where's Jose's team? Mm-hmm. They just didn't want to be on camera. Like, are y'all just not in the day?
Or they can only afford to pay Jose, and that's
exactly,
it.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I'm concerned, one, that she mentioned, like, they're $10,000 over budget, mm-hmm. which is kind of like, wow, are you serious? And then how are you $10,000 over budget? Ain't nothing in the house. Like, right. What did you spend the money? Where are you at? Like, what mm-hmm. are you spending it on? The work hasn't been done. They're gone, like, 8 months as opposed to 4 or 5 months, and they don't look like anywhere. She said it was cosmetic, mm-hmm. but that's a lot of cosmetology. Yes. Like, a lot.
There's no toilet in the bathroom. Like, that's a little bit more than cosmetic to me. You gotta need a toilet in the bathroom. So,
well, hopefully on the up and up side, trying to be positive here, mm-hmm. believing in Robin and her mom, the plumbing is probably done. That's probably what she meant. You never know what kind of plumbing issues they ran into, electrical issues. So maybe those issues are fixed and it is just like, you know, appliance, like putting the appliances in, painting and the floors. I don't know. I'm not really concerned. I mean, it sucks. It is what it is, I guess is mm-hmm. how I feel about it. It is what it is. I feel like a lot of people, when they go into flipping homes, they think it's a lot easier than it is. And it's right. actually really hard and it's a lot of work, especially for your first home yes. in that market, especially. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think they'll be fine. They're definitely going to not probably break even, which kind of sucks.
Which
but
sucks.
They may sell. Maybe they can sell it for more than it's worth.
I just feel like it was such a weird, like, time right now to do it when you just got out of situations with money. I feel like they probably should have took some years to kind of just be a little bit more steady and not have any issues. But to finally get some money coming in and then go and spend it on flipping a house, that was a huge risk. So I hope they can work everything out, because
well, we're saying yeah. they, but it seems like Juan has no hands in this house at all. Yeah. It's probably Robin's mm-hmm. you know, Potomac, Real Housewife of Potomac check,
probably. Uh-huh.
Right,
that's why Juan is like, y'all better figure it out, y'all mm-hmm. better do that. So that is kind of the only positive to that, is maybe this won't be a contention for their relationship now, mm-hmm. because it's like, it's on you type of thing. Like, Juan was just like, I don't know, it's on you.
I mean, he was like that, but then he also said that it's like $60,000 at stake or whatever that she has in there. So I definitely feel like, given their history before and what she, you know, and it's kind of like, it was sort of her fault where they lost the money to begin with before. I think that if she loses $60,000, it's going to be an issue. I mean, he's working.
Will.
She still has her, you know, Real Housewives of Potomac check, so they're not going to be on Skid Row or anything. Mm-hmm. But I definitely feel like, you know, they're counting their pennies. They're looking at it.
Yeah, but it's her pennies, not his. They're not married this time either, guys. Like,
very
Robin's name is probably on that, and Robin's mama, not Juan. That's why Juan's like, man, he's cringing because he's concerned, because, you know, we people, but that's kind of on you.
But they still 50-50 in, though, and if he looking like, yo, where's your half? And she like, oh, I spent it on the house. Now it's like, okay, well, what we gonna do now, Robin? You know, like, I feel like it's still, if it doesn't work out, it's still gonna end up falling back on Juan, and it may cause some type of, you know, controversy.
Exactly. A little bit of tension, but yeah. I mean, as long as he, you know, lets her stay in the house and he don't kick her out, then I'm sure it'll be fine.
He needs her 50%
exactly,
of everything.
Exactly.
I don't know, he got that head coach salary, that D1 head coach salary, so I think he'll be all right.
We'll see.
Yeah, so that'll...
Fingers crossed.
I know, exactly. That's the thing. I'm surprised because I can't really tell sort of what her true experience is in real estate and if she's really... but we'll see. I mean, it doesn't look horrible or anything, but it's not like they have so much extra money where it's like, okay, $60,000 can just be out there kicking it for mm-hmm. an extended amount of time. So that's... Yeah. So I think there's some reasonable concern there, but, mm-hmm. You know... Like, yeah.
If they can get over her, you know, with the money the first time, with, you know, the hundred thousands, the millions, I think they'll be able to get over 60. It sucks, but I think Robin and Juan can get through 60 mm-hmm. if they could get over how much she lost the first time. But hopefully she learns her lessons, makes smarter investments.
And hopefully it's a big sale. You know, it still could turn out good. Why are we being all negative?
I'm not. That's y'all. I believe in her.
Wait a minute. Okay, thank you. It's 8 months and they don't have a toilet.
Right.
So it's like, it's uh-huh. not even, you know, so it's not, so that's really the concern.
Right.
It's really how they played it on the show. You know
and
what
it's
saying?
Probably things that she's thinking in the back of her mind, like, oh my gosh, how's it going to be if this doesn't work out? You know, these are the things you have to think about too.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Joseph Joseph Boza in the chat, he said that he's concerned that Robin is doing this, flipping the house, as a way to keep Juan, and he wants out of that house.
I wonder, y'all think? Always think Robin trying to keep.
Yeah, we always got to do these like everybody to giving keep Juan
the hard, them the hardest time.
It's I don't just understand how her flipping houses is going to keep Juan around. If anything, I would think it could possibly make him leave if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, if she lived at 60K and she can't pay her half of the rent more than a few months, he's going to be giving her the side eye.
I want y'all to think that Juan is there because he wants to be there. Y'all always think Robin is trying to trap Juan.
I want to know if anybody thinks, so you all, it sounds like you both think that their rent, I want to say maybe mortgage, whatever they have, you're saying that Robin and Juan are 50-50 every month. That's what y'all assume.
That's what I'm assuming. Okay. I don't know what each of them are making. Maybe Juan is paying for everything. Maybe
I don't think he's paying for everything. I think that they're definitely entering into it now as a partnership. I think back in the day when he was pro baller or whatever, and he was like doing everything. But I think now she's really the one who's been kind of building them back up. He has this new job. So I definitely feel like they're in a partnership, at least. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying she's like, oh, okay, I'm splitting half the mortgage, or I'm paying the light, you paying the cable. I don't think it's like that. But I definitely feel like they're commingling their money and really trying to build something together. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're partnering like that, for sure.
They're helping each other out more so than, like, really needing each other. Like, I'm sure that if they went their separate ways, they would still be living well. But I think right now, if they're together, they're splitting everything because it's just helpful when they're trying to build their lives back up.
Tell us what you think in the chat, guys.
Yeah, well, what do you think, Lauren?
I think I'm minding my business. I'm trying to pay my own rent. I don't know.
I wish I had a one to help me pay my rent, child.
I mean,
very true.
Shoot, I just might. But no, I mean, I honestly never really thought about it. That's why I was like trying to. I never thought about what they were doing, because it's always just been her story of like when I lost the money. So I never even thought, what are they doing now? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I gotta put some more thought to that. Hopefully I feel like he's probably contributing a little bit more because he is a D1 head coach now, so that's pretty substantial money. But whatever they're doing, it's clearly kind of working for him. So keep it up, guys.
Yeah, and we wish them the best. We love them.
Yeah, I love them too. And they did seem kind of cool together this episode. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any sort of like drama between them. It was just really focusing on their financial situation. So that part was actually really interesting. And we want to see Robin succeed. So, you know, good luck with your real estate, girl. For real, for real. Okay, so before we move on, Alexis has a special commercial for you guys.
Yes, so before we move on to the next topic, we just want to give a huge thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We love what we do. We love watching all of our crazy shows and talking about them with you all. And we cannot do it without your help. So if you are watching on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe. Hit that thumbs up button.
Yep,
and participate in the live chat because we are reading them. If you're listening on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. And no matter what, please continue to watch and join with us every Sunday.
Exactly. Ooh. And watch all the shows here on AfterBuzz because we love you guys and you make it all possible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yay. Okay, so what was interesting about Karen and Ray, and they were going to buy tombstones, which was like so touching and, you know, kind of sad, really, to know what she went through with her parents and specifically with her father. But what was interesting as well is that her father is only 2 years older than Ray, so
that
I can imagine.
Shocked me. I did not know that.
What? Y'all were shocked? Y'all thought they were the same age?
No, I knew he was a lot older, but 2 years younger than your father? Like, wow, that's a lot older.
Yeah, you know, and 46 is quite a while ago. So.
He's 73. Ray will be 73 this year if he hasn't already turned 73. That's the math.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a lot. Hey. But you know, I mean, it's funny because basically, we need to do the math, but it seems like Karen and Ashley are pretty much in the same position, really, you know, and this is what Ashley has to, you know, hopefully she one day can become a grand dame.
Their age gap, I think, is a little bigger, like probably 20 something years. How old is Karen? She's probably like in her 50s.
She just had a birthday, guys, like the second last episode, right? Mm-hmm. What was she, 55? Okay. 52? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. But it's probably about 20 years.
And yeah. then Ashley is like 30 and Mike is like 60-something?
I don't think he's 60.
He's not in 60. He's not 60, girl.
I believe Michael's 55.
Sorry, Michael. Yeah. He might live 60.
I think they're like 25 years.
Oh, okay.
All I know is he has kids that are younger than Ashley, which is like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So it's, you know, so it's a similar, it's a similar age gap. So it's like Karen can't really give her the side eye because, you know, come on. She, you know, she has the same thing with Ray, really.
I think that's why I remember, though, in season one, Karen was trying to, like, kind of take her under her wing because of those similarities. Mm-hmm. Like, I think their whole side eyes has nothing to do with, like, the age thing. It's just they're the two couples just don't get along. I don't think it's even like, oh, your man is old, because it's like, my man is old.
Right, no, exactly. I think they just don't
like each other, like, on a, like, the women don't like each other in the couples. The men don't like each other in the couples. Like, they're just... Oof, those two couples
well,
are beefing.
Well, Michael only likes Juan. That's the only one he's ever checked
I want
for.
Someone to love me the way Michael loves Juan. Yeah. Make it a t-shirt.
Amen. Yes. Yes. I totally agree with that. And it's interesting. I mean, I think Michael gets along okay with, like, the Chris's. You know what I'm saying? But there's something about Ray that kind of, like, just bumps heads. And Michael is so messy, too. So I think Michael is really kind of messy. And Ashley is very sort of confrontational or something with Karen a lot. So
they're both messy. You could say it.
They're all messy. I think the issue started with Ray and Michael because Karen inserted Ray into it. I think it was either season one or season two where Karen was like, well, I've had this argument with Ashley, let me invite Ray out to address Michael about it. And it's like, why are you bringing your husband into your mess with the girls?
Did Michael get involved, though? Because that sounds like something Michael would do, doesn't it?
Probably, but Ray wasn't in it, so she could have left Ray out of it.
No. I don't think that. I feel like if, I don't know the specific situation you're talking about, but if someone's husband approaches someone's wife, I think as the wife, you should bring your husband, because I'm not going to sit here and argue with a man. Mm-hmm. So if that's what it was, I get it, because it just seems like Michael would probably be like, yeah, Karen, like, you know, I don't know what the situation was, but I could see Michael being like, yeah, Karen, what about that? And then Karen just being like, hooray, come here, handle him. But yeah.
Very true. Very true. And I just remember Michael, like, really trying to pin Ray down about, like, where he lived and on what house and why did you move there? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, he's trying to catch him in a lie or something. And it's like, Michael, just, like, whatever, have a drink, relax, like, have a Corona. They can almost do Corona
Are
commercials.
Are they sponsored? Because you noticed Michael's hat was a Corona too. Today.
They talked about Coronas like the whole episode.
They drink a Corona every single episode. I think the last episode is probably the first time where they weren't drinking.
It's not
Corona.
Even just the drinking, though. They have, like, paraphernalia. Yeah, like, they have the
right,
shirts,
exactly,
the hats.
Exactly.
Like, they're sponsored, guys.
Thank you. Literally, they say Corona, like, several times during the episode. It's like, you're not just drinking. It's like, Corona. We're not drinking any other Mexican beer. We're drinking Corona, and that's it.
Yes.
So they were kind of killing me with that. So now, what did you guys think, since we're talking about Ray and Karen, what did you think about Giselle's kind of coming by Karen's place and trying to kind of...
Well, I would say I'm glad that they're making strides and that they're, you know, trying to rebuild their relationship. But then Karen started it with Shade by saging her when she came in. Like, Karen, you should be saging yourself. You know I love Giselle. I'm always on her back. But you see, every time she was trying to use it, it kept going out because the sage was like, yo, I'm going to need you to sage yourself first before you try to sage anyone else.
People, I know sage is becoming, like, hip and cool now, but when you sage your home, you're supposed to open up the doors and the windows because you're letting the spirits out. Right now, those spirits are just doing laps around Karen's coffee table because they're still in the house. Like, she's like, yeah, I'm saging the place. Like, the windows weren't open.
Because at the end of the day, she wasn't truly doing it to sage her house. She was doing it to be shady towards Giselle.
To be shady toward Giselle. Exactly. And it's interesting because I think that Giselle is really somewhat at this point trying to make an effort. Mm-hmm. And I get that she acted a fool last season. Absolutely. But it's like, okay, are you going to hold on to it all season? Like, how long are you going to keep with this attitude if mm-hmm. she's steadily coming at you trying to apologize.
And Karen was being shady too. That's what I don't really understand about this whole dynamic with Giselle and Karen. And I promise I'm not just doing this because I love Giselle. But Karen did some really shady stuff to Giselle last season too. So I feel like if Giselle being her foolish self was because of what Karen was already doing to her. So I don't understand why she's so, please be my friend, please be my friend. Because Karen wasn't really your friend to begin with. I love you, Giselle. Sorry.
I think Karen was her friend, but the issue I kind of have with it is, okay, Giselle kind of went really, really left with the whole the taxes issue and the t-shirt and all that other stuff, calling herself, trying to make a joke. That was trifling. But Karen also invited Sherman's ex-wife
right, exactly.
around or whatever. So mm-hmm. it's like, so yeah, exactly. They did the tit for tat thing. So I don't understand why Karen feels so justified in just continuing to hang on to it. Like, yep. it's like, are you genuinely mad or you need a storyline? Like, what is going on? Why are you holding so tight to this sort of Giselle beef? Like, oh, I just can't trust you. I can't trust you. Okay. Right. Well, you let her in the house now. You ate her food. Like, you ate her cookies and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, just try to loosen up a little bit, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I think it's a storyline. I think that these girls probably hang out, like, they've been hanging out during all, like, we haven't seen each other since the reunion. Like, no. They're both two, like, shady queens. They're both petty. I think they're so, like, they're entertaining to watch, at least for me, both of them are.
Right.
And I think that they both know that they wronged each other. But I do think if the shoe's on the other foot, I think Giselle would be holding it over Karen the same way mm-hmm. because they're alike.
Right.
So I don't expect Karen to be like, oh, I'll take you. And just like Giselle wouldn't be like, oh, I'll take you. And they would just still be throwing those little shady digs. So yeah. I think they're always still going to be have each other's back at the end of the day. Like if something really happened to the other one, like right. at the reunion last right. year, like Giselle, mm-hmm. how she comforted her, I think Karen would have done the same thing. So
yeah.
they just have like a kind of crazy, slightly toxic, but very good TV relationship.
I agree.
Right. It was interesting to see Giselle in therapy, though, like when she yeah. showed up without Sherman. And I do feel like her therapist kind of brought some things to light for her, because she is quick to make a joke and she is quick to kind of, you know, cut somebody or whatever. And so she could be more compassionate for sure. So I do feel like that some of that is sort of motivating her change with Karen. But it's like that stuff with Sherman and his ex-wife was a big thing. Like, I feel like yeah. if she wanted to, she certainly could still be holding on to that. Mm-hmm. But she's letting Sherman go. And, you know, and she's trying to make amends with Karen and, you know, just do better with her friendships going forward, which I think is a cool thing. What did you guys think about the advice that her or the question that her therapist asked her, like, what happened? Like, where did all that love go that you had for Sherman, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago?
I thought it was pretty telling that she said she wasn't sure. She didn't know if Sherman loved her. I was like, dang, girl, what you been doing?
You know, I read something on Twitter the other day that with women, we mentally break up with guys before we physically leave. And I think, honestly, she's just been going through so much with Sherman that she probably has already removed herself from the relationship and from all of that before they actually broke up.
Really?
So, because yeah.
Karen seemed to indicate with her little shadiness and her confessional that Sherman was probably the one that left the relationship before letting Giselle know. Because, you know, I guess he was, you know, Karen saw him out and about with another woman. But I do think it's interesting that they were going to therapy. Like, we're only on episode 3, and we started it off with they're going to therapy, they're back together or whatever. And I get that she's mad that he didn't go to the wedding, but like all of a sudden she's like, oh, okay, I'm done, I'm good. And so, yeah, so it's either you weren't that invested in this, you know, in getting back together, or, you know, or are you, I don't know. Like, I do agree with the therapist. Like, what happened? Like, last mm-hmm. week there was feelings there. Now, all of a sudden, you're not really hurt. You straight. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Some people are capable of that. Like, that was relatable when he was talking. I'm like, Giselle, like, when I'm done, I'm like, okay, next.
Yeah.
So, some people, but that's probably not healthy. But in all situations, sometimes it's helpful, but sometimes it's probably not healthy, especially if Giselle's, you know, they kind of showed all the guys. I didn't realize she had a Herman and a Sherman. I forgot about that guy. Herman was so weird.
I remember Herman.
He was so weird.
Sherman and then Kevin.
Yes.
I guess it's kind of not healthy, but I'm sure it has helped her a little bit in life too. So I don't know. I mean,
I feel like you know, there could have been other things that we don't know about, and the wedding could have just been the straw that broke the camel's back.
I agree. I don't think it was just that. Mm-hmm. Like, how Juan was like, oh, yeah, give him a chance. It was just the one thing. Like, I don't think Giselle would be putting herself out there, the relationship out there, and then letting that just be the last thing. Like,
yeah, because it's really not that deep to me. But like I said, it could not be deep to me because I don't know what else has been happening in their relationship. For her, that could have just been the tip of the iceberg for her.
And that's what kind of sucks too about them, because we haven't really seen any, like, any of their relationships, so it kind of makes it hard for us to, like, empathize or even relate or, like, believe it, because we don't really know, like, because how was their love? Like, from what we've seen, we haven't seen Sherman show anything that shows love towards her, or vice versa. We've only seen him, like, Sherman was probably on, like, 6 episodes, 5 episodes.
If that. And it was really quick.
Right, and they always clip to that one where they're in the park. Do you love me? And then it's like, that's the only clip they got with her girls.
Other than that, we never really saw him.
Yeah, that same FaceTime with the girls. Mm-hmm. Like, those two scenes. Yeah. I'm like, we need more Sherman so we can believe this, believe the love, and root for you, Sherman, to come back. But
exactly, because it seems like this season, like, was it a real relationship? Because we never saw it, actually. Yeah. We just saw clips from last season, and she just came in strong, like, oh, we're back together. But he never, you know, he never showed up to film so far. So it's so it is sort of, you know,
kind of storyline-esque.
Exactly. So it's kind of Kenya Moore-like.
Yeah. Another beautiful woman, Giselle. Like, can you get, let's, maybe, but you know what? Maybe she does have a real man in the cut, and she just doesn't want to bring him onto the show with this drama, because Giselle's like, she's great. I'm sure she has somebody, like, waiting in the cut, and then she's just like, I'm just going to fill this air with Sherman and, like, have my real love over here. Think that's true?
I hope so.
We didn't know about Sherman until a year into their relationship.
I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, so it could have just, we don't know what's going on in their relationship, honestly. And now it makes more sense why he didn't want to go to the wedding. Maybe he's just somebody who just doesn't want to film or just doesn't want to be around this group of people.
Exactly. I definitely thought, and especially after the whole prostitute stuff, I was starting to feel like, okay, he doesn't really want to film, which is one thing. And, you know, and I can definitely respect that. But yeah, like, she does seem like she got over it so quick. So maybe, like you said, maybe they've been broke up and then she's just playing it out for the first 3 episodes. I don't know. So, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Cuckoo Katie is back.
Oh my gosh.
And she, you know, she came in kind of, you know, with her Indian garb on. I love her. I love how crazy and goofy she is. She's always a character.
I feel like she messed up her hair or something happened to her hair on the way there. And then she just had that little scarf in her car and was like, well, let me throw this on before I go on camera.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she looked crazy.
I know there's going to be some angry tweets about it being cultural appropriation. So I'm sure those are out there. But you know what? That one probably was true. You know, those edges, you know, that top of that leave out was probably puffing. You know, she don't want to be black sometimes. So she probably threw the scarf on.
Exactly. It was probably a little drizzle outside. And you know how that drizzle hit the hair. It's like, it frizzy.
Okay, Katie, it's okay. But yeah, she could have tied a little bit better.
Yeah, I was like,
but
why isn't it
it's
tied?
Katie. It's her. So we yeah, love it.
Exactly. And it's so interesting because she is another one who's, isn't she living with the guy who's 27 and not paying any of the bills?
Well, he's living with her, right?
Right. Well, yeah, he's not paying anything because, he's living there because he doesn't pay any bills.
He has more clothes than her. How are you going to come in my space, taking up all my space and not pay anything? No, with my children in the house. She has like, what, 3 kids?
3 kids, yeah.
I just don't get how you go from only dating a bunch of rich guys to some 27-year-old living in your house for free. Like,
oh,
Russell Simmons, 27-year-old.
I understand. Because she's rich. You see that a lot with, like, people who come from money. Because it doesn't matter. Like,
I guess.
She's like, I'm going to be rich anyway. So I'm so rich. I'm going to go through this phase of dating young, hot guys. And now I'm going to go back to the... Like, she has nothing else to do. Like, she's literally a socialite for a living. So why not try something new?
Why not?
I know. But she does seem a little bitter when it comes to marriage. but interesting. And I'm kind of glad to see her back because, I don't know, she was a little off. She added a little bit of fun and crazy to the girl. So Giselle agrees to invite her to Ashley and Michael's party, which, you know, so let's sort of, I guess we'll end things with talking about Michael and Ashley. Oh. And, you know, and they're planning this party. Well, they start off planning a party for our Uncle Rodney, or Uncle Lump or Lumpy or whatever. And he's 2 years in remission from leukemia, yay, which is totally beautiful. And it's interesting, I think, in this episode to see how Michael is finally trying to halfway be cool with her family again. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. You know, especially like when she hugged her mom, it was like, that was a shocker.
Yeah.
For sure. So that was good to see. I was glad. And I really, like, her mom was kind of, she's trying to be cute this season. Yes. Looking good. Go ahead. So.
But, you know, I wonder, and I, forgive me if they did bring this up and I just don't remember, but are they like this now because her mom actually did end up leaving the boyfriend? Or are they just deciding to kind of put that to the side? I don't think they've really talked about that since they started this season.
Not this season. They haven't brought it up as far as the boyfriend goes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so we don't really know that either.
I doubt that she left the boyfriend. I feel like Ashley would have opened up the season with that, you know, like, because that's such, a weight on her. I think she, hopefully she has, though. I hope she has, but I don't think so. But moving out of that huge house into a smaller house, like, in, you know, I'm sure that has helped.
Right.
That Michael doesn't have to pay, what was it, like, it was something like $3,000 a month or something?
Yeah.
More than that, probably, because he was also giving her, like, a stipend for living expenses. So that's helped. And I guess just the miscarriage that, you know, a loss will bring people together. So
very true.
It was beautiful to see them hug. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, that was a surprise. How are you guys feeling? Because, you know, this kind of came up when Ashley had her luncheon with Candace. How are you all feeling about Ashley's drinking? Like, it seems like everybody is riding her about her Coronas and her shots and her drinking shots and stuff. Do you guys feel like she's drinking a little bit too much since she's trying to get pregnant?
I don't. I just feel like, don't go around saying, oh, I can't do this, 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 or I can't get pregnant, and then go and do it.
Yeah.
Like, she was literally talking about, oh, I can't drink tap water, but you're drinking Coronas. It's like, are you really thinking about that? Do you really care that much about it if you're still doing it? So if you're going to still do it, maybe not bring up that you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, that's all it is. No one, like, Candace wouldn't have anything to say if you didn't tell her, like, I'm not drinking, though.
As I chug my Corona.
You know what I'm saying? So she's bringing it on herself, but I don't know the actual logistics to that. Well, clearly it worked out, whatever she did, because she's pregnant now, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think she does seem to be drinking a lot in these episodes, and it's interesting because she was the one who started all that stuff with Monique last season about Monique drinking and drinking too much or whatever. And yeah, so we all know that she's pregnant, so it didn't stop her from getting pregnant, but she certainly has, you know, at least these first few episodes in, she's definitely hitting the bottle pretty, you know, pretty hard. So
it's pretty on brand for Ashley. Like, she's always... Got that Corona, so it's nothing new. It's just that now, like you said, she's pointing it out to people. Yeah. Like, girl, stop talking about it. We know you drink every day. Like, multiple times with every meal. And it's okay. It's who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, oh, I haven't drunk in 2 weeks. Like, wow, girl. Keep going. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. So we get to the big party. And, you know, that's kind of how they close the episode. And we see, so Robin comes without Juan or whatever. And we see Michael just also drinking, dressed like Fresh Prince. Oh my gosh, she's so goofy. And flirting with all the men. Do you feel like
not all the
Michael
men.
Is a little too friendly? Like, who is that guy that he was like, ooh, you know, you've been working out. And it's like, he has an interesting...
Maybe that person in production that ends up reporting him.
Yeah.
For the butt grab. Because he's like, I thought that was going to feel like Jell-O. Like, okay.
I know, exactly.
I feel violated. Dang, Michael.
Exactly. Like, what were you feeling on, Michael? Like, ooh.
Ever since that season where they went on the girls' trip and he surprised her in the gay club, and we were like, okay, did he surprise her in the gay club or did they run into him in the gay club? Because I felt like a lot of men, they're going to come surprise their wife, but they're not going to come surprise her at a gay club. They're going to wait till she gets home, or they're going to meet her somewhere else because they're just not going to be in a gay club. So ever since then, it's kind of been like, okay, does he like men? Does he swing that way? And now he's giving compliments to men at the bar when he's drunk. So, Exactly. This might be the answer that everybody's already been wondering.
Yeah, exactly. How did you feel about Candace meeting Katie and Katie being like so crazy negative about marriage and Candace like just got married? Like, that seems sort of rude to be like, well, I told you just don't do it. And it's like, I literally got married 4 days ago.
Yeah. It was rude, but it was Katie. Like, I, but you know, I could see if Candace took it wrong because that's her first time meeting Katie, and we haven't met Katie, but we have on camera. Right. So we know that she doesn't mean it maliciously. That's just who she is. But I could see like how you would be offended if you've never met this person. That's the first thing they say to you, and your husband's right there. It was just more so awkward than like anything. And, I think Candace took it as like, okay, like let's, that was weird. And then they bonded over being like, you know, spoiled, trust fund babies.
Thank you. Spoiled children. Exactly. Yeah. Because I feel like at first she was just like, oh, yeah, this is what we're doing. And then when it was like, oh, okay, you know, I'm spending. So, Katie, is she making money off of hair bundles? Is that what she was saying? Like, it was hair something. So she's selling weave. Does anybody know?
Oh, I think she was saying, because Katie used to be a model. And she said she just got a check in the mail for $35,000 for, like, you know, when you do a print ad and, like, when they take it off the shelves or whatever. Okay, like, okay, basically, like, when you do a commercial, you get paid all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. But I guess her mom took it from her.
Okay, yeah.
Why'd you tell your mama, Katie?
Exactly. It was hair something. I was like, is she selling weave? Like, that would be great. But, yeah, so that it was nice to kind of see her kind of pull it together with Candace or whatever. So we ended kind of with this footage from Robin showing clips of them, like, drunk. And she says, you know, Michael makes this kind of crazy comment. And, you know, so it's like, and Michael even says himself, like, oh, I hope my mic wasn't on.
Yeah.
Like, dang.
I think he definitely said what Robin said he said, but I just want to know who he was talking about because he kept bringing up Juan. So was he talking about Juan or was he talking about the guy at the bar or was he talking about some other random? But either way, there's somebody out there who he wants to, you know, do that with.
Probably all of them. He's probably talking about the guy at the bar
that he had been talking to.
Yeah, that he and probably was telling Robin. Maybe I don't know, but he's already told Robin some things while drunk about her husband or her ex about Juan, and she's just like, "Well, he'll never happen." So I'm just gonna act like I didn't hear that.
All right. So that's kind of how we close the episode. So let's move on to our special segment. Let's do some tweets in the house, right quick. Okay. So this is T-Sweet 80, Tony Love, 6 figures spent on a wedding and no honeymoon. # Real Housewives of Potomac.
A shame.
Yeah.
Go Candace and Chris.
I just know whenever I get married, a majority of the budget is going more to the honeymoon than it is to the wedding.
Yeah. I just or at feel least like I do want to do a honeymoon.
Yeah.
And this is at Ms. Meadow. The he loves me not flowers are going to Michael's boyfriend Ash.
Oh my god.
That was a diss early in the episode.
All How does that not have a million retweets?
That's I know, hilarious. Right? Candace is doing the absolute most with this husband that can't afford a honeymoon.
Ooh.
Oh. Poor Chris. Poor Chris.
Y'all be playing, Chris. I think he can afford a honeymoon. It's probably not the honeymoon in the Maldives that Candace wants, but he can afford something.
He could go to Disney World or some. Okay, I wouldn't
You're shady, too. I know. Free I Chris.
I am. I wouldn't let Robin flip my pancakes, let alone a house.
I knew you were going to pick that one. I
Jacob,
saw that one.
You are rude, okay?
I saw that one and laughed out loud.
Jacob Gardner.
All of the girls said that Robin is a good cook, so don't do her, Jacob.
Yes, Jacob, she can flip my pancakes for sure. not my property. Thank you. She can flip my pancakes all day, girl. We got you. We got you. Okay. Do you guys have shadiest moments, perhaps?
You want to go? Oh, she's adjusting to the beat.
I know, right?
Okay.
My shadiest moment has to be Karen saging Giselle before she walked in. That was just super duper shady and just so unnecessary.
All right, well, my shadiest moment, since you said that, is when Giselle said to the confessional, but does she sage her wigs though?
does she sage her wigs though?
Great
she
question,
should.
Giselle. You know what? Karen's wigs have gotten so
they've
much
gotten
better.
So she maybe she did stage them from last season. So
across the board, that's what I love. Like I love the flashbacks of season one on any Housewives franchise because it's just like growth. Like everybody just looks so much better.
So much richer.
It probably wasn't the shadiest, but it was my funniest shadiest moment for myself was when Robin walked in and Michael was like, "Where's Juan?" Like that whole like segment. Like he's like, "Well, I like you too, but like, where's Juan?"
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I feel like Michael's a shade queen, and it's so like people just don't like talk about it. Like Michael is rude AF, and everybody just brushes over it all the time. So yeah,
exactly.
That goes to Michael.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there was one more shady moment by Giselle in that same cut with Karen. She's like, "You don't live in this house. You live in a piece of this house."
Oh yeah,
like,
that was one of them too. Yeah. Poor Karen.
But that is weird. Like, why are you only showing me
two rooms? Because Giselle is trifling. But maybe she only lives in three rooms. I don't know.
Live there.
But all right, I think Giselle is winning for the shadiest chick this episode.
Yes.
This episode. This season.
Yes. This exactly. So far this season.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Before we get out of here, Lauren has some news and gossip for us.
And before that, news and gossip. TV news. I just love that part. For that news and gossip, I did want to shout out Joseph Boza because he is going off in these comments. He's so opinionated about, he's like, Kenya, like Giselle's pulling a Kenya. Like, he's just been going off. So I wanted to shout you out, Joseph,
hey,
as well.
Joseph.
Hey,
shout
Joey.
Out. I totally agree with you. I feel like it is a mystery man that she paid to be her boyfriend. But go ahead.
And Jay, Brittany Means, all you guys in the chat, we love you.
Thank you.
Then for news and gossip, I don't know if you guys saw, I have a few things.
Okay.
Actually, because you know Wendy Williams is back. How you doing?
Hey.
But so I don't know if you guys saw. First, Giselle went on Wendy last week, and then after that, Karen went on. So of course they're taking digs at each other the entire time. Karen said that Giselle needed a neck lift and a facelift. So that was also shady news that I wanted to throw out. And then this weekend, the Real Housewives of Potomac joined Candy and celebrated with her. There were so many cute pictures. It was dungeon-esque inspired. It was very sexy. Monique looked pretty snatched. Karen looked pretty snatched too. Like you said, the weaves were better.
Yeah.
I think she stopped by somebody in Atlanta because I feel like Potomac weebologists just aren't there.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was a fun party as well. And I wish I was invited. And I feel a way that you didn't invite me, Candy.
They were also at the opening of Nene's new swag boutique that she just opened in DC. So
yeah.
We also
saw
them there. So congrats to Nene and shout out to all the girls who went to go support her.
Yeah. I feel like Potomac and Atlanta are very supportive of each other, and I appreciate that. Black
Definitely.
Girl magic.
Yes, we do. All right, you guys, rapid fire. Let's do some predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, Lauren, take it away.
I feel like Ashley and Candace are, like, that whole meeting, I think we glossed over that, but that is such a pageant girl meeting. Like, that just felt like pageant girl prelims, like, everything about it. They don't like each other. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
They have this, like, I feel like we should like each other. Like, they have their pageant faces on, but they're definitely going to beef. It's coming soon, if not next episode, like, episode 7, they're going to be fighting. And I also think that Katie and Candace may get along really well or either really not well. I think Giselle and Karen are going to keep being petty. And I think we're going to keep seeing like snippets of Monique's life because we've only gotten like a minute of her every episode so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Come on, Alexis. We only have a second. So just one prediction.
Okay. Yeah. My one prediction is that Katie's going to flip the group upside down. There's going to be a lot of arguments because she's back.
Okay, yeah, I agree with Alexis. I think Katie is going to be the new Marlo, and she's just going to be on every week. I'm hoping. Uh-huh. All right, you guys, thank you so much for checking us out. So, Lauren, where can they find you?
Hey, guys, you can find me on Instagram at LaurenOutloud.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at IAmLexiFierce.
Cool beans. All right, you guys, you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in Door Edwards. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight, and see you next week, same time, same place.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.